Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for tuning in today. We're delighted to have you on board with us. This is Dr. Youngblood, and you are listening to another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues. I'm delighted to come to you each day by way of radio, and I pray that it is a challenge and informational and a blessing for you as you listen. Let me remind us once again, you can join in the dialogue and discussion each day by simply dialing 401-1413. 401-1413 gets you directly into the studios and right to the microphone so we can have dialogue and discussion on these issues. When we face issues, ladies and gentlemen, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. The Scripture is very, very clear when Jesus told his disciples, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And then in John 17:17, Jesus makes a declaratory statement where he says, "Thy word is truth." So when we look at the Word of God, we are looking at truth. It's not just a book with a little truth in it, with truth sprinkled through it, but the Word of God is truth. And ladies and gentlemen, there's a text that I want to call to our attention that I believe is a good launching place for us to talk today. In Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20, "Woe to them that call good evil and evil good, or evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight." Then in verse 23, "Which justify the wicked for reward and take away the righteousness of the righteousness from him." May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, we're living in that kind of society today, where right is called wrong and wrong is called right. Where you look at something and it's light, and they say, "No, it's darkness," or you say it's dark, and they say, "No, it's light." There's a contradiction in that, and I find that to be so true with so many things that we're doing in societal thought and the society today that we're living in. In fact, I want to call this broadcast Straw Jail, S-T-R-A-W-J-A-I-L, Straw Jail. Why do I call it that? Because out in California, in fact, in the city of Santa Barbara, California, they've passed an ordinance, a straw ordinance, with very harsh penalties. It includes jail time. This article says a new plastic straw ordinance in Santa Barbara, California, allows for jail time for repeat violators. Santa Barbara, California is the latest municipality to ban plastic straws, for this city's ordinance carries some exceptional harsh penalties, including potential jail time. The ordinance for the California coastal city applies to anyone who hands out a plastic straw at a restaurant, at a bar, or at a food establishment. The article goes further. Under the measure passed earlier this month, first-time offenders will receive a written warning. The second-time offenders will be met with a fine up to $1,000 and or prison up to 6 months. The ordinance is set to go into effect in January of 2019. That's about 4 months away from now. Seattle has a similar ordinance, the article says, but it's not quite as harsh. In the Seattle ordinance, you can be fined up to $250. You see, the driving force behind this law are concerns over the problems that plastic straws cause for marine life. And according to the researchers, they have discovered one sea turtle with a plastic straw hung up in his beak. One sea turtle now has made citizens otherwise would be considered wise human beings to pass legislation because supposedly now we're in a major, major crisis on a global basis. And in fact, Starbucks has already jumped on the bandwagon with that. Starbucks says they're going to dispense with any plastic straws, and they're going to plastic cup caps with a little nipple on it for you to suck on that to get your soda out of the cup. And the cost for the plastic is extremely more, and puts more plastic into the waste, if you please, on a global basis than straws. In fact, I've forgotten the statistical number, but it's something like in that one plastic cup with that little mechanism on it is equivalent to about 100, 150 straws, some astronomical imbalance with that. But ladies and gentlemen, we are living, I believe, in what we could call the last days without any question, as spoken of in the scripture. A day when right is called wrong and wrong is called right. Light is called night and night is called light. And a day when immoral, unethical climate exists in the world today, where there's a serious decline in the number identifying as Christians, and everything is upside down. And I'm using this now, ladies and gentlemen, as an illustration to point out to us how upside down we are in society. And I understand the primary promulgating cause is that we have turned our backs on God as a nation. We are in a post-Christian, post-modern era where the right is wrong and wrong is right on a multiple scale that makes it almost unreal in the world in which we're living in. But ladies and gentlemen, you can commit murder today by way of abortion. You can destroy the human being in the mother's womb. But if you destroy a sea turtle egg, you can pay a fine or go to jail. We're in a society today where sodomite marriage is considered legal. But if you use the wrong pronoun for a transsexual, refer to that as a him or a her or a she or a he, using the wrong pronoun, then it's illegal. And in some states, you've got to pay a fine or go to jail. I find it antithetical to anything that's called any morality or sense of ethics in America today when that is the case. School children can be abused by way of the sexual miseducation and the legal, and it's called legal. But if a parent disciplines his or her child by spanking that child, it's called child abuse. Schools can show pornography and pornographic videos that's produced by the LGBTQ group, and they call it legal, yet our children are forbidden to pray or read the Bible in school. Notice the major, major, major differences in what I'm saying. And I want us to understand, ladies and gentlemen, that there's a need for Christians to speak up, stand up, be salt and light, as we're called on in the scripture. A child in kindergarten is expelled for drawing a picture, just simply drawing a picture of a firearm. Yet it's legal for the same child to be brainwashed and his morals destroyed by the sodomite LGBTQ educational process. It's illegal for prayer in the classroom, yet it's legal for Islam to be taught in the public school system. I don't understand that, but yet that is the fact of where we are in society today. We must understand, ladies and gentlemen, that we are in a position today where it's legal to kill an elderly person by way of hospice or euthanasia or mercy killing, as it's called. And yet the law of God, the word of God, says it's murder. Now, why am I so excited about this and concerned about it? And ladies and gentlemen, I believe we ought to all be. It's because we're watching a total shift in the dynamics of society in the world today. Some refer to it as the tectonic shift. That is a major astronomical shift. Things 10, 20, 30 years ago that were immoral and unethical and illegal are today considered moral, ethical, and right. Some worship the environment and Mother Earth, and plastic straws is now considered to be a major crime if they're used in society. It is a sad, sad scenario when you find a city, as in Santa Barbara and other cities in the left wing, left coast, if you will, that simply are passing laws and legislation that makes it illegal to have a plastic straw, but you can have murder by way of abortion, and you can have the elderly dispatched by way of euthanasia, or as they call it, mercy killing. In fact, here in this article, which is talking about Santa Barbara and the plastic straws, it says the Santa Barbara ordinance is unique because it has no exception for the disabled. That is the potential problem, because some disabled people cannot drink without a straw, according to the published reports. You see, the disabled are not important in the society in which we're living in today, but we've got to somehow, some way, realize that we need to save the sea turtle and not be concerned about anything as far as humanity. Ladies and gentlemen, we're living in a post-Christian era today that should cause us all to be fearful of where we're headed. Here's another illustration. Judge banishes anything that might resemble prayer. And a ruling that apparently conflicts with U.S. Supreme Court precedent, a three-judge panel of the 9th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals affirmed a ban on anything that might resemble prayer at any board meeting of the Southern California School District. The article further says, this requires the board to censor or otherwise remove any individual who attempts to say a prayer or anything that might resemble prayer during the public comment period. In a case brought by the atheist activist group, such an overboard injunction is a clear violation of the right of private citizens to address their local representatives in public meetings and is very dangerous to the First Amendment. The appeals court panel said the order is affirmed by the lower court and it prevents the creation of a de facto opening invocation during the public comments period, imposing severe restrictions on what the public can say in exercising the First Amendment right. The article further says 4 years ago, however, the Supreme Court affirmed the practice of ceremonial prayer at a city council meeting. In that decision, listen, Judge Anthony Kennedy, Supreme Court Justice, he's now retired, noted that historical significance of such invocations. Here's what Judge Kennedy said 4 years ago. Ceremonial prayer is but a recognition that since the nation was founded, and until the present day, many Americans deem that their own existence must be understood by precepts far beyond the authority of civil government, end quote. That was by Supreme Court Justice Anthony Kennedy. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, so if we look at what Kennedy says in relationship to prayer, and then understand that now prayer, anything that even looks like a prayer, if you even have God in a phrase or Jesus in a phrase in a public forum, according to the recent decision by the 9th Circuit U.S. Court of Appeals responding to a case in Southern California School District, it is now considered banned, banished, and is illegal. Ladies and gentlemen, so if that's illegal, I want to ask you a very pertinent question. How is it that forced bathroom and showers for both boys and girls can be deemed okay and can be deemed as being legal? This article says, judge forces high schoolers to share bathrooms and showers with the opposite sex. The transgender agenda in public schools, which insists a person's sex is a subjective matter based on feelings, took a huge step forward this week with a federal judge ruling boys must be allowed to use girls' restrooms and showers and vice versa. And this particular judge's decision, it's out of a case out of Oregon, he went on to say it's within the parents' apparent plaintiff's right to remove their child from the school district if they disapprove of the transgender student access facilities policy. He goes on to say, once the parents have chosen to send their children to school, quote, their liberty, interest in their child's education is severely diminished, end quote. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to find any place in the United States Constitution and our Bill of Rights, any place in that document that our Patriot Founding Fathers gave us. I want you to find anything in there that says that you your freedoms, your freedom of religious liberties, and your freedom of speech are diminished in any fashion because you walk into a schoolroom door. That is simply unconstitutional decision. But ladies and gentlemen, if we can force boys and girls to go to school and to take a shower or dress in the locker room or go to the bathrooms, where it ought to be a time of privacy, school ought to be a place where a child is protected and sequestered from danger from any outside element or any internal element within the school. And yet we're finding this pervasive today because of the LGBTQ agenda in our nation. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Dr. Youngblood. This is Let's Face the Issues. We're dealing with issues that most preachers will not touch, most will not communicate about, and most have the philosophy and the feeling somehow that we just bury our head in the sand and let it continue to go. You can join in this dialogue and discussion by dialing 401-1413, 904-401-1413. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the new straw law that if you waitress passes out a plastic straw in California, they can be fined $1,000 per incident or put in jail for up to 6 months. Starbucks and other bleeding heart liberal organizations have jumped on the bandwagon, and I find that antithetical to anything that we're talking about today, because if we can destroy the morals and the ethics and the values of our sons and daughters in the public school arena by forcing them to be in all stages of dress and undress with the opposite sex present to appease 1% of society in the transsexual, homosexual, gay, lesbian, queer group in America today, then what are we going to do in relationship to what is called child abuse? Ladies and gentlemen, I believe it is child abuse, nothing more and nothing less, to force them to do so. Here is an article from Psychology Today that I printed this morning, and it talks about child abuse. Let me just read it to you before we take our caller. Child abuse, in this article, says child abuse can result from physical, emotional, or sexual harm. There are some children who may be unaware that they are victims of child abuse. Child abuse can be physical, emotional, verbal, or sexual. Emotional trauma can result from several forms of abuse. Child sexual abuse is the deliberate exposure, listen, of a minor child to sexual activity that the child cannot comprehend or consent to. This behavior includes acts such as inappropriate touching or someone exposing their genitalia to a child. Now, what else would you call it but child sexual child abuse in the public school systems where your children and our grandkids are forced to shower, to go into the bathroom, and to go to the locker rooms in a mixed sexual group. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're in Duval County, that is what has been required. In Duval County, it's been sequestered, it's been quiet, but it's been enacted since Dr. Vitti was superintendent of schools here. It's just been slammed on the school system in St. John's County this past week. And we ought to complain, and every parent has the right, I believe, to file suit against the school board and call it sexual child abuse or child sexual abuse. I believe we have a caller on the line. Go ahead with your question or comment, please.
Hi, good afternoon, Dr. Youngblood. How are you?
Wonderful. Thank you for your call.
Yes, sir. Praying for you every day and that your ministry goes far. Well,
wonderful.
Dr. Youngblood, I was actually going to call up some of these news Channel 12 and his Fox for News, and I was going to tell them that they need to bring the Ten Commandments and prayer back into schools because the children don't have no foundation. And
absolutely,
I believe,
brother,
that's the root cause of it.
You're exactly right. And listen, I don't know if you're aware of it or not, but this last legislative session, spring of this year, they introduced legislation that passed overwhelmingly that requires every school in the state of Florida to put some place over the doorways at a major place where it can be seen that says, "In God We Trust." Now,
yes,
I understand there's some legislators that next spring will introduce in the spring legislative session a bill that would require our public schools to offer Bible as an elective subject in every grade level in every school in the state of Florida. So we need to, what I would recommend our listeners to do, and I would recommend that you do also, is to get on board immediately, start contacting the legislators and getting them prepared for next spring. Ask them to please, please, please be the sponsor of the co-sponsors of such legislation. You know, that's just taking place in the state of Kentucky. Governor Matt Bevin's, Governor Matt Bevin signed the legislation 3 weeks ago that in the state of Kentucky, every school is required to offer an elective subject, and that is Bible, where Bible can be taught in the public school. Yes, we need the Bible in public school. We need the Ten Commandments in the public schools. We need the sign that says, "In God we trust," because we're living in a generation and an era today where our kids and our grandkids are totally illiterate of the scripture, and they have no fundamental foundational, if you please, focal point to guide and direct their lives. So you're right.
Yes, I was looking on the news about a couple of weeks ago where a transgender calls himself a transgender student. It looked like a boy to me, but now he wants to use the girls' bathroom, and I just didn't agree with that. And they were trying to make the—I don't know if they've instituted that yet or not—but they were trying to make the transgender bathroom where the boys can go in the girls' room and the girls and the boys if they think they're a boy. And I've never seen nothing so twisted in my life. I know we didn't go to school like that, and for them to classify us to throw up the "In God We Trust" sign might be fine, but we need God's word.
Absolutely, brother. You're exactly right. And when getting back to the subject, in DeVol County and in St. John's County, and I don't know about other counties around us, but DeVol County and St. John's County, that is the regulation. That's the rule now. In fact, I have tried three times this week to get the superintendent of schools in DeVol County to call me back for me to have a discussion with her about this issue. And either she's hiding in a closet or she is going to totally reject any communication with me on that subject. But every parent that's listening to me,
I wouldn't expect a call back, that's for sure.
No, and every parent that's listening to me, I say, call the school board of DeVol County and insist on talking with the superintendent of schools and ask them to give you in print, in writing, what is the policy in DeVol County schools relative to the required forced nudity in the public, in the bathrooms, in the showers, in the locker rooms that they're forcing on our students. That is nothing less than sexual child abuse for our children. And brother, I'm in full agreement with you. God created male and female. He created them, the scripture says. God created Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. And yet we have today, I don't know if you're aware of it or not.
That's correct.
You're right. And I don't know whether our listeners are familiar with it or not, but when the LGBTQ community, they are producing the curriculum that's used for sex education in our public schools. And what can you expect from the LGBTQ but to try to recruit? They cannot reproduce, and so they're recruiting, and they're recruiting through the educational system, and our educational system is falling prey to that absolute diatribe that's destroying the morals and the ethics and the values of our kids today. So we need to, as parents, we need to, as citizens, we need to stand up, speak up, come out of the closet of silence, and face off with these public officials in the educational system. And in fact, Dr. James Dobson has advocated for the past 2 years for parents to pull your child out of the corroded, polluted educational system called his public school. Parents can teach them at home. Parents can do more academic training at home than they're getting at school. In fact, the educational system from the U.S. Department of Education right down to the state departments of education across the nation are absolutely destroyed. They're polluted. And the goal is has nothing to do with education on any level. We are in sad condition when it comes to our education.
And I also see it stemming a lot from the colleges, because you're actually paying a college to wreck your child's mind. They come out and they'll accept anything, and they think that everything is the same, and it doesn't matter what religion you believe in. They're all going the same place, and they've been allowed to accept that lie from the enemy. And I just think it's a shame. Once they go in them colleges, then professors and stuff teach them anything, and they accept it as rule without checking God's word against it, and their minds get wrecked.
Preach on, brother. You're exactly on target 100%. In fact, I have an article here before me that says children are being used as political props. The article basically says children, by virtue of their age, inexperience, and vulnerabilities, are protected by law and custom from exploitation. Except in extraordinary circumstances, parents have the right to have the last word on how the world interacts with their children. That includes children being used as political ends and political props. And may I say, that's what's taking place in the academic educational system. That's what's taking place in the political system. And ladies and gentlemen, I want us to understand, I believe God would have us to be salt and light and take a stand in the last days in which we're living and say enough is enough. We're not going to have our children polluted any further. Brother, thank you so Absolutely. Much for your calling, for your input.
You what, Dr. Youngblood, I really thank you for listening. And I'm going to give you a call again sometime, but I'm going to finish this off and say, my daddy was 97 years old, and before he passed, he said that God was watching, and he's going to reward you according to your works.
Amen. That's Bible,
he's not,
brother.
He's not playing anymore.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, brother, thank you so much for your call, and have a blessed day. Ladies and gentlemen, when we talk about this, I get very passionate about it because I see so many parents that are absolutely silent about what is taking place. I believe that we need to get something straight, and we need to understand that in our immoral, ungodly, liberal, socialist, democratically led, directed society today, the judicial system is now considering what is immoral and illegal and irresponsible, and it is being forced upon American citizens. It's bad enough to see, and by the way, I just out of curiosity was in a restaurant yesterday and asked the lady, could I have a plastic straw? And she said, sure, and she didn't even understand what I was saying. But it's right comical to me to go into a restaurant and see a place of business where all of a sudden, because of one sea turtle having one straw in its beak that supposedly was harming that sea turtle, now all of a sudden it is illegal, but yet we have the sodomite lifestyle that's being perpetuated in our schools and across the national spectrum, and that's supposed to be legal today. Ladies and gentlemen, we've got something upside down. We simply go back to what the scripture says in the Isaiah text in chapter 5, verse 20, woe unto them that call evil good. By the way, the word woe means calamity, catastrophe. Woe unto them, those that are perpetuating calamity and catastrophe, and call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Ladies and gentlemen, that's what we see taking place today on a national level. Murdering babies in the womb is okay, but don't you dare pass out a plastic straw. Killing our senior citizens by putting them in hospice and having them dispatched on what is called euthanasia, mercy killing. By the way, I do entire broadcast on that subject. You say, what's wrong with hospice? It is designed to dispatch your loved ones, to dispatch grandpa and grandma. It is to dispatch them and get them out of the way. And that is the whole propulsion today within the younger generation, that it's okay. You've always heard, well, they lived a ripe old life. It's okay. Let's release them now. Let's turn them loose. The doctor says, oh, he might be a vegetable anyway, so we need to do something just to get them out of the way. Ladies and gentlemen, that's a demonic, satanic ploy to destroy the elderly in society today. It is called legal, but yet a plastic straw is considered illegal today. Simply to use the wrong pronoun for a sodomite, for one that's confused about his own sexuality, is now illegal, and you can be fined or put in prison in some cities and some states. Right here in Duval County now, ladies and gentlemen, we have the LGBTQ, the sodomite community, that's demanding that our sheriff's department give the right pronoun when they're talking about a citizen, an individual that's killed on the streets. Recently, we've had in the past year four that are dressed as women out trolling for men on the streets in prostitution, and they have been killed, and I don't adhere to that. I don't agree with that, but nevertheless, because they were dressed that way, they were picked up thinking they were female, and evidently when the male found out that they had been tricked, they killed them. And now supposedly it's the police department that's on the hook. It's the police department that's wrong because they call them a him rather than a her, and they use the wrong pronoun. Now, the LGBT community is demanding that our sheriff's department adhere to sensitivity training being offered to them by the Equality Jacksonville group. That is the sodomite group here in the city of Jacksonville. Ladies and gentlemen, we have it upside down. And I urge you, encourage you as a Christian. The Bible says in Psalms 127, verse 3, children are a heritage from the Lord. We need to understand that God's given us the sons and daughters. We have the responsibility to protect them. One of the ways that we can do that, ladies and gentlemen, register to vote. Vote August the 28th in the primary. Put the good guys in and the bad guys out. Thank you so much for tuning in today. Looking forward to meeting you on the air once again tomorrow as we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on AM 1600 and 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.